Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we read your word, that your message through your Holy Spirit may enter our minds, our hearts, and our beings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will be reading to you from God's word from Luke 7. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Thus far, the reading of the Word of God.
I've loved being a part of the sermons series, A Meal with Jesus. And through the weeks, we've learned how God has offered his people great hospitality. But we weren't so sure. We saw Jesus commanding a tax collector to come and follow him. And Levi responded by throwing a great banquet for Jesus and for all his friends, his fellow sinners. And so we learn that Jesus comes to call sinners to repentance. And then we saw Zacchaeus as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be killed. And Jesus merely asked Zacchaeus to provide him with hospitality, to share a meal with Jesus. And Zacchaeus' life was changed. And today we have another great occasion of Jesus sharing a meal with some people. He's invited to have dinner with Simon the Pharisee of Nain, where our story takes place. Upon arrival in the town of Nain, a couple of hours' walk from Capernaum, he raises the only son of a widow to bring hope to this poor woman. And I imagine that caused quite a stir throughout the town. In the meantime, John the Baptist's disciples wonder if Jesus really is the one who is to come. And this is Jesus' response. "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Now, the ordinary people, the tax collectors, many of whom had been baptized by John, were impressed with Jesus, were impressed with the way of God. But Pharisees and experts in the law who had refused John's baptism rejected God's purpose for themselves. And so Jesus reprimands them with these words: John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, oh, here's a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors, sinners. And it is then that one of these Pharisees invites Jesus to dinner. Now, this Pharisee is a person that would feel much at home in this congregation. I think he's a lot like us. He has questions about the Jesus and who's going to preach in this community, their community. Well, what kind of preacher is this person? Is this preacher on the right side of the issues? He's obviously some sort of prophet, or else the widow's son couldn't have been raised from the dead. But yet he wonders, is this power of Jesus from God? Or is it from the devil? What side is this Jesus really on? And I think in the same way, we sometimes discuss our ministers. Are they on the right side? They might do this right and that right, but then there's this other thing too. And the Pharisee is much like us in another way too. He loves his entertainment. You know, in his days, there weren't all these different kinds of entertainment that we have in our lives today. Perhaps, maybe, the Roman governor might host a gladiator battle once in a while. But here in Nain, the only public entertainment are the public disputes handled at the gates of the city. Or if perhaps you are more into horror stuff, there are the public crucifixions by the Romans. No, the only decent entertainment in Nain is when a visiting rabbi comes by and has a good debate with Simon and his friends. And so today, Simon has a chance to do both. Is Jesus orthodox enough to be able to teach in the community? Are we going to be able to corner him into a good old-fashioned debate? So he invites Jesus to join him at his house for dinner. And Jesus accepts the invite and is seated at a table much like this, and he reclines at the table with his legs outward. And so far, it seems like this dinner is much like any other dinner. But then something happens. See, Simon must have made the invite in a public location, because it so happens there is a woman in town that has a really sinful reputation. And she learned that Jesus was going to be eating at Simon's house. So she goes out to the market and she buys an alabaster jar filled with perfume. Now, think about this, an alabaster jar. It takes a craftsman months to make the jar. It's likely that this perfume in this alabaster jar costs a year's worth of wages. And this woman now enters the house of Simon, and she stands behind the feet of Jesus, and she's weeping and weeping. And she begins to pour her tears on the feet of Jesus. And after a while, she begins to dry them with her hair. And then she begins to kiss his feet. What a spectacle. And she pours the whole jar of perfume on those feet. Those feet that are going to be out there in the dusty world again. Well, if Simon was looking forward to a spectacle, he found one in his own home. And he begins to ask himself questions. What kind of a prophet is this? If this Jesus really was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. If he were really a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. And no prophet or priest would allow a sinner to touch him like that. He would be unclean. Now, of course, those of us who have heard Jesus speaking to the woman at the well know full well that Jesus is an amazing prophet. He knows exactly who this woman is and who we are. He knows the thoughts in our very hearts. And he knows exactly the kind of thoughts that are in the mind of Simon. And so Jesus reacts to Simon in a way that most pastors would never be able to. You know, I might have just lambasted Simon for his hypocrisy. But that's not what Jesus does. He is able to speak of God's grace and forgiveness in such a way that even Simon might understand. Simon, I have something to tell you. Simon responds, "Tell me, teacher." And Jesus tells this great parable. There are these two men who had borrowed money from a loan shark. And one of them had borrowed $500 and the other 10 times as much. Now they had borrowed this in their desperation, and they had no way to repay the loan shark, and so I am sure that they lived in fear. But the loan shark's henchman found them and brought them to the loan shark to repay their debts. They couldn't, of course. And he said as much to the loan shark, thinking that they were done for. But he shocked them. He shocked them by telling them that their debts were canceled, that they were paid in full. In full. No, Simon. Which one of these people will love the lender, the loan shark, more? And even Simon knows the answer. The one who had the bigger debt canceled, I suppose. He would love him more. Right you are, Jesus says. You have judged correctly. Now here's the point. And for the first time, Jesus turns to this woman. He says to Simon, do you see this woman? You see, I came into your house as a guest. And you were my host. And you didn't even give me any water for my dusty feet. Yet this woman has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them dry with her hair. You didn't even give me a kiss on the cheeks, yet this woman has not stopped kissing my feet from the time that I entered your house. You didn't even offer me any oil to clean my hair, but this woman has poured all her perfume on my feet. Do you get it, Simon? Why would this woman do this? Was she trying to get something from me? No. This woman had a huge debt canceled, and so she can't help but share her gratitude and show her love. Her many sins have been forgiven, and she knows how wonderful this is. But the one who has been forgiven little loves little. Do you get this, Simon? Do you get this, Ebenezer? Now, I fondly remember my final year at seminary, and there was a new student taking just a few classes. Now, Bob was in his upper 70s or maybe even already in his 80s, and joy just radiated from his face. He loved being among the students. He loved studying the intricacies of God's word. Now, he really didn't have a reason for it. It wasn't like he was ever going to become a pastor of a church, but he loved it. And I think that God placed him in our lives just as he put this woman in Simon's house. We had to see what it looked like to know that your many sins are forgiven. You see, there are even some people among us at seminary that still didn't think that this was all that amazing. But it is. It's amazing. And finally, Bob got a chance to teach all of us future pastors by leading a chapel, and he got to tell his story. You see, Bob grew up in a home of an alcoholic who abused his wife and kids. And finally, at age 16, Bob thought that he was strong enough to stand up against his dad when once more he beat on his mom. And Bob tried to stop him, and he got the beating of his life. And he left home that night and swore that he would never be like his dad. That he would never drink and never be abusive. Now, when Bob turned 40, he realized that he had become just like his dad. That Bob, too, was an alcoholic. And yes, Bob, too, abused his wife and his children. And then something happened. His wife dared him to not drink a single drop of alcohol through the whole season of Lent. And Bob was not going to be shown to be a weakling by his wife. And so he did it. He didn't touch a single drop of alcohol. And then on Easter Monday, he hit his favorite pub and he ordered his favorite drink. And then the miracle happened. When the drink touched his tongue, it was the bitterest stuff he had ever tasted. And Bob perceived this to be a miracle of God. It's almost as if God had cured him of his alcoholism. And Bob went to his wife and he apologized. He asked that if together maybe they could turn to God, that they could live a new life. And they did. Now, Bob didn't instantly become a likable person, but through the years, Bob discovered that God had forgiven him his many sins. And his wife, too, forgave him. And perhaps his children also forgave him, even if he didn't have the best relationship with them. But Bob became a loving and a grateful person. Jesus now turns to this woman. Your sins are forgiven. And to me, it's clear that this woman now knows her sins are forgiven. Her loving deeds toward Jesus shows her great gratitude. That great sacrifice he made buying that alabaster jar of perfume shows how much she was celebrating the forgiveness of her sins. And like Bob, the joy shone from her face. And he ends his time with the woman by once more reassuring her that her faith in God has saved her. Shalom, go in peace, is how he sends her away. And she leaves with the blessing of the Messiah, the Christ. But I wonder about Simon and his guests. How did they depart from Jesus? Some of the guests grumbled among themselves. Who is this? Who even dares to forgive sins? And some guests wondered. Who is this? Who even forgives sins? Is this the Messiah? Is this the Christ? And Luke doesn't tell us how Simon responds. Is he one of the ones who sees Jesus as the one who usurps the role of God? Isn't God the only one who can forgive sins? Or is he one of the ones who finally recognizes that perhaps Jesus really is the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God who is able to forgive sins? Does Simon become joyful like the woman? Or does Simon remain a grumbler? There's one more thing I want to touch on. Since next week, the series goes back into the capable hands of Pastor Jason. We have seen Jesus interacting with a number of different people, and it seems that each time that Jesus has been able to see them for who they are. And each time he has been able to deal with them in such a way that they too could hear the good news of God's grace, God's love, God's holiness. And I realize that we don't have the full insight that Jesus has. But I think we can see a lot more than we sometimes think we can. See, we can use empathy. That's the word that Linda was talking about to the kids. Empathy, to try and understand what another person is feeling, where another person comes from. Or we can imagine ourselves walking a mile in the shoes of this other person. Now, I suspect that when our youth group returns to us with their stories of their experiences in Mexico, that some of them will have been able to put themselves in other people's shoes. Even more, I suspect that some of them will relate that these Mexicans even had a meal with them, and that these Mexicans showed them the grace of Jesus. And perhaps they learned more from the Mexicans than they were able to teach them. And if that is the case, then they truly have been blessed on their trip. Today, once more, we are invited to the feast, a meal with Jesus. And the feast is for those like Bob, like the woman, who recognize that they indeed are sinners. But not just any sinners. They are sinners who look to Christ's work on the cross as payment in full of their great debt, their great sin. May we learn to be grateful for God's wondrous grace. May we see that God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ is the greatest gift we can ever hope to receive. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, help us to come to the table today with the realization that you have sacrificed greatly to offer this meal to us. Help us to accept that Christ's work on the cross is the price for the forgiveness of all our sins. Help us to be grateful and to see other people through the lens of this gratitude. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.